Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. I don't know what you're like making up your mind. Sometimes I can make up my mind rather quickly. Maybe I go into a shop and I want to buy a pair of shoes. I try them on and I can decide pretty quickly I'll buy them or I will not. Other times I might change my mind a couple times as I'm mulling over something and, well, before I come to a final decision. So how do you find it? Well, the Apostle Peter was one of those people who seemed to generally know where he was going in life. He would boldly make up a decision, but there was one occasion, well, he had to reconsider his position and change his mind. It was in the early days of the Christian church, and God was establishing that church with the Holy Spirit. Peter, the ex-fisherman, the bold apostle, was sitting on the sun deck of a house of Simon the Tanner. It was located in the city of Joppa, not too far from the modern-day city of Tel Aviv. And he was having a quiet time there at Simon's house, and he was up on the upper deck, the flat deck, and he was there waiting for lunch, and he was hungry. But as he was sitting there in the warmth of the sun and conversation with God in prayer, something most unusual happened. He had a particular vision, and this was an experience that led him to begin some painful and personal change. He was compelled to confront his own snobbish attitudes and his own deep prejudices. Peter had been satisfied with the status quo, and he really didn't want to change. He reckoned that he had already changed since he first met Jesus, and all his status of quo, well, enough for one lifetime. No more change of attitude and direction, but nevertheless, this vision that God gave him, he would change yet one more time. Change can sometimes be a painful thing, and other times maybe not so significant. Even simple things of changes can be a bit unpleasant. I did this once in my former congregations in McCall and Cascade. I asked them to move from their familiar spots, if you will, and to go back to front and right to left and move to a different spot. Now, I'm not going to ask you to do that. We're a little bigger congregation, but did you feel a little bit of anxiety that maybe I was going to? To be honest, we don't like being disturbed. We like to be settled in our comfort zone, if you will. And of course, most changes are tougher. Even some of the small examples, the one I gave you was not really that significant. Whenever we are called to make a major shift, though, then it really becomes much more difficult. Doing things may cause a bit of distress or anxiety, and distress can be extensive. We would rather dodge those moments, if you will, but change does and will happen. We know that from life experiences. And we go through one stage of life into another, and our children grow up, they become independent, and things change. And yes, even in our church, things change. Members of one particular congregation that experienced a lot of growth was bemoaning the fact, well, I used to know everyone by name, and well, it's harder now. I have to make more of an effort to know more people. So it is that we find change sometimes challenging, and pain can be a bit painful. back to Peter on that sun deck waiting for his lunch. Please remember, up until now, Christianity had been primarily a movement among the Jews, although there were some Gentiles around receiving that message, such as at Pentecost. But Gentiles, non-Jews, it was largely the Gentiles were outside yet of the message. And as Peter was sitting there in the sun, he had the vision confronted of his Jewish exclusiveness. You see, Peter, well, like many of the Jews, were kosher. It means they were not allowed to eat certain foods that were forbidden in the Old Testament, especially those disgusting foods like pork and rabbits, snakes and eels, and certain birds and insects and lizards. They were all forbidden in the Old Testament books. But now Peter had this vision of this tarp coming down from heaven and is being lowered from God. And here it was full of all these creepy, crawly things and these disgusting foods, as Peter thought, and he was repulsed. But the voice of the Lord commanded, "Get up and kill something and eat it for lunch." Now remember, Peter's waiting for his lunch up on the rooftop. And he was probably particularly hungry. And Peter responded, "Never, Lord. I've never in all my life eaten anything forbidden by the Jewish laws." And the Lord answered him, "Don't you dare call anything unclean that God has made clean." This happened three times. Same words, same result. It seems as though oftentimes it takes Peter three times to get the point. Well, he denied Jesus three times. Three times Jesus asked him if he loved him there on the Sea of Galilee. Three times he was given that command back, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs." Three times the same vision, the same command. And Peter woke up and he was shaken by that vision that he received. What did it mean? It didn't take long to find out. Because you see, messengers had arrived at that house from Caesarea on the coast. It's about 45 miles away from Joppa, where Peter was staying at the house of Simon the Tanner. And Peter was being asked to go to Capernaum, on the Mediterranean Sea. There's several Caesareas. This is the one on the sea. And he was asked to share the gospel with a man named Cornelius, who was a Roman army soldier. He was a worshiper, though, of the true God, what he knew of the true God, the God of the Old Testament. And fighting all of those prejudices while still hearing the word of God deep in his head, "Don't you dare call unclean what God has made clean," Peter did what was unthinkable. He was going to enter the house of a Gentile. And he said, "God has shown me that I should never think of anyone as impure." So think of Peter there standing at the door of Cornelius at his house, and most likely he probably broke out in a cold sweat. This was the first time in his life that he had ever entered into the house of a Gentile. And painful as it was, he did it. I remember the first time that I was doing some volunteer work at a rescue mission in downtown Portland while I was in school at Concordia. And there were people there, dirty, tattered clothes, and obviously some were inebriated and drugs. Well, it was not the most comfortable experience for me being on Skid Row. As Peter preached those words that he recounted in Jerusalem as he's telling this story, the Holy Spirit moved in the hearts of people, and He marveled of what God had done through his son, and they believed. They believed, and now Peter said, we need to have you baptized in the name of Jesus. Give them the fuller picture of God's redemption plan. And Peter had undergone that radical change in his attitude and his life. He knew that this his fellow Jewish Christians there in Jerusalem, they might question or disagree with what he had done going into the house of a Gentile. But Peter knew that God was determined to move over this hump of prejudice. He recognized the gospel belongs to all people, irrespective of race or language or culture. You see, God was doing something new here that was prophesied in the prophet Jeremiah. For Peter, he brought this stress, well, going against what Jews would consider common practice. He was challenged to see things differently and to act differently. And this is what helped the whole course of the young Christian church. Because you see, just before this story in the book of Acts is when Saul had been converted and now comes up to Jerusalem, and they're still questioning, is he an enemy or friend? And he met with the apostles in Jerusalem. God was doing something. And that was a bit unnerving, I'm sure. And then there's the story of Philip that we heard last week, and the Ethiopian eunuch who went down to Africa. And we considered that. And now the conversion of Cornelius, a Roman soldier. Get the picture? God is bringing change. And it's also taking place in Peter's heart. God was moving in a miraculous way, just as that rock drops into the pond and the waves go out. God was working to spread his church. He was challenging the status quo. And God even went so far as to use the persecutions to push his people out into the uttermost parts of the earth to fulfill that task that Jesus had given them as he had commanded. And Peter reached that point where he declares this in our lesson as he's explaining in Jerusalem what had happened. Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Peter rightly concluded that the Gentiles are now to receive the message of the gospel. And as Peter explains that gospel fulfillment of the Old Testament in Jesus, the Holy Spirit was busy creating faith. And those people were baptized, all of those in Cornelius' household. Go and baptize all nations. And following in the footsteps of Peter, God is always calling us to step forward and to participate in that changing, what is not right and what is not God-pleasing in this world. But in order to do that, he calls us to change sometimes. Jesus said this because he died on the cross that we might have a change, that we might have a changed relationship with our God. And he gives us that newness and new life to turn away from the ways of Satan and the old self and our sinful natures, the ways of the world, and to follow God's ways as his children. And that includes changing a direction in order to be able to better carry out that work of God in the world. Now, granted, naturally, we resist change. We don't like it. It sometimes makes us uncomfortable. We would rather stay the way we are, thank you very much. But you might say we get caught in a rut. Well, a spiritual rut simply doesn't allow the Holy Spirit to challenge us and get out of a rut and to go places where we've never been before. You know, there's a difference between a rut and charting and following a course. God is calling His church at this moment and all through history to undergo changes of some sort to carry out that gospel message. And some of God's changes sometimes come slowly and step by step. And then other times it's, well, it comes rather quickly and we have to move with some speed and adjust like Peter did. And in those times it may be a little more acute, and sometimes it makes us even more uncomfortable. We may even want to rebel a little bit against that. But what makes it harder for changes and facing them is that somehow they may not feel right at first. Sometimes it may seem improper or unclean, as our tradition-conditioned ears know. We may be tempted to close the shutters and block out any thought that of that change, that it could be good. And we might earn that rebuke given to Peter, "Don't you dare call unclean what God has made clean." It means sometimes pushing aside caution a bit and subduing our personal biases or even our personal preferences and bravely undertake something new for Jesus Christ and for the sake of His gospel. You see, the New Testament talks a lot about a new life and change transformed through what Christ has done for us. And too often we think it's an individual thing, but it can also include the church, as we see in this example. Christ has brought a newness of into the church, and it leads us to change, not simply for change's sake, but for the furthering of the gospel. It's not easy to get out of a rut sometimes. It's not that we change the message, but how we reach out and how we touch our lives with the gospel so that they can be made new and reformed and transformed and to reach into society. So what are some of the ruts that you or I might get stuck in? Remember, a rut is something that keeps us from getting into a different track or comes up with the same results. You're stuck there. And it's hard to get out of a deep rut. It keeps us from going anywhere else, from seeing and trying different ways and doing different things. It keeps us going down that same track when it really is not healthy or good for us to be doing so. And Peter could have easily have said when he received that message, "God, don't ask me. I can't do that. It goes against everything that I've been taught and believe. Let somebody else go." But like Peter, too, we are challenged and express that newness of life that God has created within us. Apostle Paul said, "We've been saved through the death and resurrection so that we might live a new life," Romans 6. And that newness means getting out of the old ruts or habits, getting out of the rut of impatience or prejudice or intolerance, the rut that leads us to think that the church is there to meet our needs, not giving thought to anyone else and their needs. A rut that doesn't let us get out of our comfort zone and talk to maybe someone unfamiliar in our church, that we keep going down the same track and talk to the same people. Well, somebody else's job, but there's so many facets of ministry to take on. Consider that story of Peter again and the vision that took him up for a while as reclining there on that sun deck, and he had to embrace some painful change, first of all within himself, and he didn't always get it right. There were times when Peter actually backpedaled, And on one occasion, an apostle Paul had to publicly confront Peter of his backsliding into those old Jewish prejudices. That was a painful occasion. But to his credit, Peter heard the rebuke, took it to heart, and recovered that bold spirit that had helped him to enter into the house of that Gentile Roman and preach the gospel with awesome results. Jesus died and he rose to bring change, to bring renewal into our lives and into the life of his church. He died so that the whole world might hear and believe in God's plan of salvation and be with our Lord in heaven. So let's make it our prayer. Lord, change our hearts to go where you are leading us. We ask this because your Son is alive. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. We receive our offerings.